This is the, oh, Dr. Bray is recused from this one.
Can I get the complainants on the phone?
Oh, can I do that too? I'll slow down from reading the script.
Hello?
Hi, this is Tracy of Veterinary Board.
Hi, Tracy.
Hello, we're going to start the informal soon. I want to conference you in as soon as I get your mother on the line as well.
Gotcha. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Hello?
How is it going, Mr. Tracy of Veterinary Board?
Hello, it's actually Yvette.
Oh, I'm sorry, Yvette. Thank you.
That's okay.
The board is about ready to start the informal. I'm going to conference you in, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have everybody we need on the phone? We're good on the phone?
Yes, we got them all online.
Okay, this is time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Lorna Landman, DPM, in case number 2209. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it under ARS 322234. Please state your name for the record.
Lorna Landman.
Thank you.
David Stoll, Parents Legal Counsel for Dr. Landman.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Landman, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation in terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you've submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. James, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
This is case 2209. On July 23rd, 2021, Zeus, a 13-week-old male ferret, was presented to Dr. Dorto with rear leg lameness. Radiographs revealed a fracture of the right rear leg. A splint was placed, confinement was recommended, and medications were dispensed. On July 27th, 2021, the ferret was presented to Dr. Landman for a recheck. The splint was dry and positioned appropriately. After reviewing the radiographs, Dr. Landman suggested blood work due to the concerns of metabolic bone disease. Due to the phosphorus and calcium levels, Dr. Landman recommended changing the ferret's diet and not performing surgery until the metabolic bone disease was reversed. On August 1st, 2021, the ferret was presented to the Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital for a second opinion. Radiographs were repeated and surgery was recommended. There were no concerns with the ferret's diet or metabolic bone disease. On August 4th, 2021, surgery was performed to attempt to pin the fracture. Due to concerns of post-op complications with pinning the fracture, amputation was recommended. The complainant agreed and the ferret's right rear leg was amputated.
Okay. Dr. Lammon, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
We'd now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
My involvement in this case was limited to a single follow-up examination on Monday, July 27, 2021. 3 days prior, on Friday, July 23rd, Zeus, a 13-week-old male ferret, had presented to Dr. Dordo for right rear leg lameness. On palpation of the leg, Dr. Dordo suspected a fracture that was then confirmed by x-ray. Dr. Dordo appropriately splinted the leg for stabilization, dispensed medication, and gave the owner strict discharge instructions that the ferret needed to be isolated and confined. Unfortunately, as confirmed in the medical records from Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital, the discharge instructions for isolation and confinement were not followed, and Zeus was put into a three-tier cage with the owner's other ferret. With regard to my single exam on July 27, I reviewed Dr. Dordo's x-ray prior to my exam and then noted that the splint that Dr. Dordo had placed was positioned appropriately. Specifically, there was adequate tape placement and the tape was appropriately positioned to immobilize the leg within the splint. There was no movement in the leg within the tongue splint. Therefore, there was no need for a follow-up radiograph on that three-day recheck of the initial radiograph. If there had been mobility of the leg within the splint, or if the splint had been damaged or mangled, then we'd certainly have offered additional treatment options, which would have included additional radiographs. I also recommended to the owner that blood work be performed to evaluate the blood levels of calcium phosphorus levels. When I received the lab results back, which were abnormal, I reviewed them with the owner and recommended a change in diet because I was concerned about the ferret's potential metabolic bone disease and the possibility that Zeus could fracture additional limbs. I've placed hundreds of splints over the course of my career, and I always instruct the owners to bring these pets back to monitor the condition of the splint every 7 days or sooner if the owner recognizes that the animal's leg or splint is wet, if the animal had been excessively licking or biting at the splint, or if the owner notices any swelling. In this particular case, the owner elected to follow up 4 days later after my appointment with the Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital, where they indicated on presentation they had not followed our discharge instructions by isolating Zeus and restricting his activity. Since the investigative committee meeting in this case in January, I reviewed the medical records from the Arizona Exotic Animal Hospital and the statement submitted by Dr. Catherine Hausman. In her statement, Dr. Hausman indicates that she told the owner that if Zeus had presented to her initially instead of Dr. Dordo, she would have made the exact same treatment recommendations that Dr. Dordo made, placement of a splint and strict cage rest. She also told the owner, and I quote, "Fractures are common for young ferrets, and that without strict cage rest, it's not uncommon for splints to fail." Following the appointment at Arizona Exotics on August 1st, I called Dr. Hausman to discuss the case, and as confirmed in my narrative response and Dr. Hausman's, we both concluded that the splint had failed secondary to Zeus not being cage rested. Therefore, as is noted in her record of our conversation, Dr. Hausman felt that the plan Dr. Dordo recommended and that I followed was appropriate. In closing, I am confident that if the owner had followed our instructions and cage rested Zeus instead of putting him into a three-tier cage with another ferret, the splint would not have failed and we would not be here today. I therefore disagree that any care provided by either Dr. Dordo or me fell below the standard of care and request that you dismiss the owner's complaint against me as you did in Dr. Dordo's case.
I'd now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Lannan.
I do. Start with a couple questions. Do you routinely see exotics at this practice?
We see maybe 5% of our practice is exotics now.
Okay. And it sounded like, and I just wanted to make sure I had this correct, that when Dr. Dordo initially saw the ferret, that he specifically scheduled the follow-up to be with you. Is that because you see more exotics, or you like exotics, or was there a reason for that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of exotics over the years. We don't see very many exotics in Sun City West, but the in my previous practice, we saw a lot of ferrets in the 70s and 80s.
Okay. So would you say that in his mind, you were kind of the go-to exotic person to make sure everything was going correctly?
I think so. Okay. I think that's why he was, I don't know his thinking, but I do know, you know, he asked me a lot of things to check on.
Okay. So in this case, what was it that made you, outside of just the fact that it was a young ferret with a fracture, that made you concerned about the bone disease?
I've seen a lot of ferrets over the years that were fed cat foods that routinely broke their legs. And this young ferret is playing in a cage, and that's not uncommon for them to break legs. And just to make sure that it's not a metabolic problem, you know, we did check the calcium phosphorus ratio.
And can you describe kind of your interpretation of that ratio?
Well, a PhD nutritionist told me many, many years ago that in a nutrition course that, you know, it's not about the calcium, it's not about the phosphorus, it's the ratio. If the calcium phosphorus ratio is out of whack, calcium being twice what phosphorus should be, then if the phosphorus is very high, then calcium is going to be pulled out of the bones to make that blood calcium phosphorus ratio more into the sink.
So in this case, we had calcium at 8.8 and phosphorus at 9.4, and your assessment is that should have been a 2-to-1 ratio?
That's correct. I even checked with the Avian Exotic Lab, and their technician told me the same thing.
So when you reviewed the x-ray on the recheck appointment and feeling the splint to making sure it was stable, did you have any concern with just having the one view?
Well, it looked to me in the view that we had that everything was positioned just very right in alignment. There was no, there was no out of alignment. There was no overlapping. Looked just like there was a crack across there.
Have you ever seen that happen though, where you take one view and it looks in alignment, and you take a different view and it is completely out of alignment?
Well, yes, but you know, if you had taken that view of that the Avian Exotics Lab, it would have been overlapping. Because those muscles pulled that distal piece up.
So in your statement, I think in response to the case, it said to recheck in 1 week. I think that was to recheck the splint. And then it says to evaluate bone density.
Yeah, to see if the calcium phosphorus was getting better. And when the Avian Exotic or the Arizona Exotic doctor rechecked it had gone from 8.8 up to 9.4, the calcium.
So you're looking at it from a standpoint of the calcium phosphorus. That's what you were referring with regards to rechecking bone density or repeating x-rays?
Well, both.
And then at any point, like when you were talking with this owner about follow-up, because I know you didn't see him initially, but, and that's when the confinement and all of the instructions were discussed, but did you discuss that again on the 27th when you saw
Yes, I certainly did. I told him there's, you know, you needed to keep this animal completely confined. Otherwise, other legs were possibly break too if this calcium phosphorus ratio did not improve. And you know, when these ferrets are put on cat foods, that's all they had. That's all they had to eat back in the 70s and 80s, and there were a lot of fractures.
So did I guess with this one though, he was on a ferret diet. He wasn't on a cat food diet.
He had been on a cat food diet.
Cat food diet prior to you switching it to the Missouri?
Prior to him switching it to Marshall. And I instructed him to check with Marshall to see if the calcium phosphorus ratio was appropriate with that. And as I knew Missouri's was, because I talked to them at quite a few veterinary conferences, that Missouri's calcium phosphorus ratio was good for ferrets.
And then with regards to the confinement, how do you typically describe that to an owner? Do you just use the word confinement, like it needs to be confined, or is there more detail given around that?
Well, it should be kept in a, you know, one cage, not with another ferret to play.
But have been said to these owners? Like when you talk to these owners and you were talking about confinement, would you have said, when I refer to the ferret needing to be confined, I'm talking about no other ferrets in the cage, one level, not multi-tiered? Like, how much detail would you have gone into with the owner on what confinement means? Because technically a three-tiered kennel is confining it. It doesn't have free roam at your house. So I'm just wondering if there was some misunderstanding in the communication.
Well, I don't know if there was a misunderstanding in the communication, but I tried to, you know, try to relay to him how important it is to keep this animal in a situation where he's not going to break any of the legs, or this splint can be, you know, most of the time I tell people, you know, put him in a lazy boy, you know, make him stay confined so they can't do anything. Yeah, and definitely, you know, you wouldn't want to have him playing with another ferret.
I don't have any additional questions. Thank you.
Anybody else?
I guess I'm not understanding. How you look at the calcium phosphorus. I mean, I understand in the ration, in the diet, calcium phosphorus is supposed to be 2-to-1, or close to that. But how does that relate to the blood work?
Well,
what you eat isn't necessarily going to be what's in your blood.
Your blood calcium phosphorus ratio should be around 2-to-1. Ours is 2.5-to-1. So when you have a normal person would have a calcium around 10 and a phosphorus, you know, around 4. And if your calcium is calcium phosphorus ratio is not in that close range, then the body's going to try to make it that way.
I understand that part. I just don't know that I've seen that ratio applied to rations, to the diet, which wouldn't necessarily be the concentration levels you would have in the blood. I mean, I'll refer to it's been a long, long time since I formulated the diet and had to do all that calculation, so.
Well, you formulate the diet to achieve a blood ratio, like you will put more in the diet to make sure that you're getting a good ratio when you evaluate it in the blood. But I would question here is what is exactly the right ratio with a ferret. I'm not a ferret expert, but the ratio I was taught was not the same ratio. But that could be up for discussion.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go on.
The nutritionist, the PhD nutritionist that and taking a nutrition course explained it that our blood levels should be in a ratio of 2-to-1 or 2.5-to-1 for us. in the literature, and for ferrets, it's 2-to-1, and that's what the avian lab technician told me. And then if you look in the literature, it's 1.2-to-1 for just for reproduction. They need it in that ratio. You know, it's not about how much calcium's there and how much phosphorus is there. It's got to be in a ratio. And then, and if it's out of that ratio, then that's where you get this pulling of calcium out of the blood to, you know, get that ratio back to balance.
It's going to change whether they're growing or lactating or gestating or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Just one clarifying question on the diet, because when you said that they were on cat food, in your statement you said the ferret was being fed commercial ferret food.
Apparently, they just purchased this ferret a week before, and it had been being fed cat food at the pet store. And ferrets being a very carnivorous animal, you know, some of these cat foods have way too much carbohydrates. And their calcium phosphorus ratio was
totally different. I just want to clarify that, because that's not what was in the statement. The statement says the ferret was being fed Marshall ferret food. So yeah, I suggested that we transfer it to Missouri. So I just wanted to make sure I understood your answer to me earlier correctly regarding the cat food.
Just one question on the recheck exam. And you looked at the original radiograph. Did you have concern at that time that it was going to lateral view?
Well, I didn't. You know, I looked at that view that we had, that AP view, and it looked like everything was right in alignment. It just looked like there was a crack.
In that dimension. But what about, were you then confident that it was alignment in the lateral view also? You were confident that it was definitely aligned in both planes, is what I'm asking.
I can't answer that because I don't know.
Because my concern is we didn't have a lateral view of that, which could impact where we go with this fracture from here on out.
Well, that's exactly why I recommended that we recheck in a week and recheck the radiographs, recheck the calcium phosphorus, or recheck this, see if we were.
So you would intend to re-radiograph in that week?
That's our standard practice, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Board members? All right, seeing none, we'll move on. And we will now hear from the complainant on the phone. Would you please state your name for the record? Do we have one or two people on the phone?
Two.
Two? Okay.
Two.
One at a time, please state your name for the record.
Hunter McGee.
And Yvette Harrington.
Thank you. And you're the complainants in this case, correct?
Yes, correct.
We have read the materials you've provided, and you may address the board. Oh, wait. Hang on a second. First, I got to state your name. First, I got to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
I do.
Now we go on. We've read the materials you've provided, and you may address the board.
So, from, I guess, the best I can recall this whole experience, when I was told to confine my food to the ferret, I was not told about having it now be in a three-tier confined space. I think I even asked that I had this space and if it was fine. And I was told yes. And the spirit had not moved, like, out of place, was not playing with other, with my other spirit at all. But my two spirits at the time weren't even, like, near each other because he was just so new, like, at all. So there's no way that this spirit moved while he was in his split. He was not climbing. He was not doing any such things that would further harm him in this case. And if I had known, I needed to combine them in a one, like, level source, I would have. Just to make sure he wasn't, but I was checking on the top of it. He was not moving, which was not normal for the spirit to not move this much. And this, and that's why I was so concerned and brought him into Arizona Guard for a second opinion, because I had been needing to wait so long to get a re-radiograph or a recheck for a splint that was not working for the spirit.
And this is Eva Harrington, if I may chime in. I think the concern is the x-ray. When I took the ferret upon my son's request, because he was working, and the time that Arizona Exotic could see him, he was working. So he asked me to take the ferret in. We had requested that the x-rays be sent to us through email. They were digital, so we could provide that to get a second opinion. And when I transferred it to them and they reviewed it, the doctor came into the room and said, we're going to have to take a two-view x-ray because there is no way for me to be able to give you a second opinion based off of this. And so I, you know, consulted with my son, his spirit, his money. He said, go ahead and do it. And they did it, the two-view x-ray, where you could clearly see, and I'm not a doctor, but I could see that it wasn't attached. The bone did not appear to be attached to the other bone. And she showed me her x-rays, and I had already seen the one we had, which was taken, you know, first, the one view x-ray. And so ultimately, they recommended surgery, which we ended up taking him into surgery, you know, letting him get surgery, because it was in such bad shape, they could not even pin it back together. That was an option, had it been, I guess, a better break. I don't know what the terminology is. But that wasn't even an option. When they got into surgery, they called my son and said, we have to amputate. There is no other workaround. And so at that point, what do you do? So we amputated. So I think that is the reason for this claim, is we feel that having the one x-ray was not truly representative of his condition at that time. We feel like it got worse waiting. And so my son, you know, he must have had a feeling because he said, you know, should I be in for a second opinion? And I said, you absolutely can. That is your choice. And if you feel like that's what you need to do, then absolutely. And so I think he was getting some kind of conflicting feeling. He didn't feel that the parent was getting appropriate care, hence the second opinion. And that to me, when I was there and I could clearly see the x-rays and the leg and the way that the first x-ray, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I couldn't even see a break. I mean, you're looking from the top down and you're not looking at the side, which is where the issue was. And I think that's where it stems from, is the quality of the x-ray and the fact that it was a one view versus a two view, which again, we don't feel that it clearly represented his medical condition. And we feel that we waited, and it could have gotten worse. Like, we don't know where we were to start with, right? But clearly, the x-ray was not conducive of a proper diagnosis, in our opinion. And we did change the diet. You know, he tried everything. He immediately purchased new food. I think we, and Hunter, correct me if I'm wrong, but back to Missouri is the current food that they're on. They also get additional high protein, some other brand that's high protein food that's also supposed to be very good for Barrett. So Hunter, my son, did whatever he could to try to help the Barrett, you know, to the point of buying the recommended food immediately, because if that was going to help his ratio, he was all about it. If that was going to help his legs, he was all about it. If that was going to keep the Barrett healthy, he was all about it. So that's our story.
Do any board members have questions for the complainants?
No, I don't
know. All right, seeing none, Dr. Landman, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
I have some comments, and Dr. Landman may as well. First of all, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Dr. Landman is entitled to a fair hearing in this case, completely independent of any other issues or matters that she has before this board. And looking just at this case, Dr. Dorda was the initial treating veterinarian. He suspected that the ferret had a fractured leg. He took an x-ray. His initial treatment involved palpation, and then he suspected a fractured leg, and it was confirmed on x-ray. He confirmed the location of the fracture and appropriately splinted the leg so that it could heal. And it most likely would have healed had the owner followed the discharge instructions to isolate and confine the pet. If you look at the medical records from Dr. Dorda, it said recommendations, rest and confinement while splint is placed. This was most likely, instead of confining the ferret, the owner put the ferret back into a three-tier cage with another ferret. This was most likely the exact place and environment where the original injury occurred and was sustained. So you can't overlook the owner's failure to follow aftercare instructions that were given both by Dr. Dorno and by Dr. Landman. In fact, the subsequent treating veteran,
Sorry, on the phone, you need to be quiet. This isn't your time to talk.
Also, if you look at the medical records from the subsequent treating veterinarian, she told Dr. Landman, and in the statement that she submitted to you at the board, that she would have treated the ferret the same way that Dr. Dorda did, that is, starting by placing a splint to give the fracture an opportunity to heal. However, it didn't heal, again, because the owner failed to isolate and confine the pet in order for the healing to occur. That's why the appropriate treatment failed, and while the leg had to subsequently be amputated. At the end of the day, Dr. Landman did not violate any statute or regulation in this case. Furthermore, given the fact that you concluded that Dr. Dorda, as the primary treating veterinarian, did not fall below the standard of care in not doing multiple x-rays, you cannot apply a different standard to Dr. Landman and conclude that she fell below the standard of care. The undisputed evidence in this case is that at the time Dr. Landman performed her exam, just a few days after the splint had been placed, there were no complications. There was no medical reason for her to retake x-rays within that three-day period of time. Dr. Landman testified today that the follow-up exam that she had scheduled, that the standard of care practice at their facility was to do x-rays again at that time. It wasn't until later that there were complications that developed that the owner elected to take the pet to Arizona Exotics. And that's where subsequent x-rays were taken. And what we think happened sometime between the time Dr. Landman examined and found the splint to be appropriately placed and that healing appeared to be going forward, sometime Between that period of time and the time that it presented to Arizona Exotics, while the ferret was in this cage with another ferret, the splint failed. In closing, please don't strain to find a violation against Dr. Landman because of her other matters that she has before the board. Again, she's entitled to a fair, independent review of her involvement in this case, and we're confident that if you do that, you will dismiss this with no violation. Do you have any other closing comments, or? Thank you. Or at most, issue a letter of concern. You know, sometimes hindsight, they say it's 2020, and looking back, if you think that perhaps she should have done something else, then a letter of concern would be at most the most action that this complaint warrants. Thank you.
Any board members?
Do you want to say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I was looking at the x-ray that Arizona Exotics took, and there's clearly an overlap of the proximal segment and that distal segment, and that was not on the, even one view would have shown that. That would have, you know, there was clearly an overlap on the lateral view.
So does that suggest to you another injury?
Well, it suggests that it slipped off. It was probably cracked in, you know, in the first view, and somehow the splint failed, you know, and allowed that movement.
I guess the point being there's too many variables in terms of what could have happened to support a violation.
Any questions from board members?
No questions, but have you ever seen a case where you radiographed of a limb in the AP view and said, gee, I don't know if that's fractured or not?
I'm sure over the years I probably have.
Any of the board members have questions for Dr. Lynn? Right. Seeing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
I'm sorry, excuse me. Are we able to say something at this point?
No. They're not facing any action against you. The respondent has to defend their license, so they always get the last word.
Oh, so even though we have some points that we would like to raise that are not consistent, we cannot express our concern.
We've seen everything, so we should have heard those same things that were inconsistent. So we're gonna move on now. Your part's done, and then, like I said, the testimony portion is concluded, and the board will now deliberate. Dr. James, you are the lead.
So, I mean, I think there's certainly some communication issues, as we've had in, I think, every case today, and probably every case we've seen recently. Because I do think there was a miscommunication on the discharge instructions, on what confinement meant, and that probably isn't anything that warrants necessarily a violation, but just in commentary, I think we have to be very specific with our clients sometimes on what, when we say confinement, what confinement means. And I don't treat ferrets, but it's the same in dogs. Like if I have a fractured leg in a dog and I say I want the dog confined, I mean I want it confined to a crate. I don't mean I want it confined to a bedroom, right? Like, so we have to be clear on those things, and I do feel like there was some of that that wasn't clear in this case. Having known the history now on the cat food, which I missed in the initial review, I do think that that helps describe why we would have been concerned about bone disease in this case. It, it wasn't clear in the statement, but I think that that probably was that this was a new ferret to the family, that maybe there was some poor diet prior to them getting this ferret. It does seem like they went on ferret food right away, but that's longer term. I think that really the issue we have at hand is on the x-rays and whether the one view was appropriate. I think when I initially reviewed these cases, when they both came before us, it was different on the first doctor because they took a view, they found a fracture, they splinted it, and followed up with somebody that had more experience in this area than what they did, and it was kind of stated that way, at least my interpretation of it. And so it's almost like you're expecting the review by the more experienced person for them to say, well, I wonder if a second view would have been appropriate here because of what we're dealing with, right? So I hate to place more blame on one than the other, but there is some level of this first doctor referred to somebody else, which is what we always say. If you don't know yourself, you refer to somebody else, whether it's in your practice, whether it's a specialist, whether it's somebody else, you get another opinion. So I think that's kind of the lens we were using initially to look at this. And I do think the second view, I mean, I'm kind of concerned that it's not more standard protocol with the ferrets to take a second view, and maybe it is, but I'm not hearing that loud and clear. I would say in dog and cat, it's very standard to have those two views. I don't know that I've taken one view without a second view ever. Okay, I just think it kind of goes together. Maybe if there was something that was really fractious, but I just don't know how you really truly evaluate it. Because so what we're talking about there is if you look at a bone this way, it's going to look like it's straight, but when you turn it on its side, it could be totally different. So anyway, I think that's really the question here, and whether it warrants a violation or whether we could say, you know what, if it hadn't been improving, maybe she would have caught it in the follow-up, because it sounds like she would have done x-rays at the follow-up, and maybe then it becomes more of a letter of concern than a violation. But I am a little concerned in the quality of the x-ray on that first one wasn't great either. So I think that might have been part of the challenge.
But for me, one of the things that I think having a chance to review it again a second time, plus hear a little more from the people involved, the location of the break has played a big part in it, right? Because it doesn't matter how early on at that location, at that break, they weren't going to be able to pin it or screw it. Isn't that kind of what they said? It wasn't going to work. There wasn't enough to seat the...
Did they specifically say that, or did they just say we can't get adequate alignment here? We don't know because we were in the surgery. Looking at that, there's enough room there.
I thought the Arizona Exotic said they couldn't do it because there wasn't enough
to
screw things together.
There could have been a lot of things going on there. In that time frame. Yeah, just looking at that from the radiograph from the Exotic Clinic, I would look at that and go, yeah, there's plenty. There's plenty.
I don't think we can say
it. But we're not looking at the original fracture.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to be able to say, was it like that originally? I don't know, like one view. Was the confinement the problem? I don't know. Maybe it was like that to begin with, but we only have one view, so I can't say. So I don't know. I think they might not.
And I agree, even as a layman, I agree with it. I mean, I can understand the perspective he needs too, right? I mean, even I can visualize that in my little pea brain. But, so, I mean, I get that, but I just kind of got the, from what I remember from the doctor that actually did the surgery, I thought they opened it up intending to see if they could do something mechanical, and then decided there's not enough there for me to do something, and they had to amputate. So, but then, you would have done it, right? So. I mean, so that's a judgment call. So know, so I, in addition to picking up what I picked up the second time, you just helped me pick up another little piece too, that it's going to be very subjective.
Correct.
What's enough for one person is not necessarily enough for another one.
And I think they were worried about three-stop complications with that, so it was kind of like, do you want to try it and have it potentially fail, or do you just want to cut to the chase?
So I guess my question is, if you had that second view, the first day or the 3 days later, one of those first two appointments, if you had the second view at one of those or both of those, would you have done anything differently? I mean, or would you have opened them up to try to surgically repair it immediately?
Yes.
And say, no, no, I'm not going to splint it?
Yes. If we had another
that would change your decision.
Well, I don't, I don't know, because we don't know if it was aligned in that first one.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah. If it wasn't aligned with that second view, we would have said, no, you can't splint this. It's not going to heal. It's not in alignment. But because you don't have that second view, you don't know if it was aligned or not. If you had the second view and it was aligned, then the splint was absolutely the right way to go.
And then what happened after that?
Yeah.
We don't know that because we didn't have the second view.
Yeah.
I agree totally with Dr. Jane when she said, when we looked at this the first time, we had those same concerns. Why didn't the original doctor do the second view?
Yeah.
But then on looking at the case in total, just like Dr. Jane said, this doctor was doing what he could at the time until he could get this ferret to somebody more experienced, come back, let's see if what I did was correct. And with that, we said, okay, orthopedics 101 is take two views that are fresh every time. But we said, okay, because I would look at it this way, okay, I can't afford a radiograph today, doc, what can you do? Well, I'll put a splint on it, but you better come in and have this checked. And that could have gone that way too.
Well, so, and I've definitely seen cases where you've not taken x-rays at all. You've gone for the splint, tried to see what happens and hope for the best, and if it doesn't heal, then bam, right? So I've definitely seen it where other limitations, whether it's financial or the behavior of the animal or whatever, has caused us not to be able to do x-rays. I didn't see that in any documentation that was why it was declined in this case. And I don't really think a second view was declined. I don't think it was done. But if it had been financial and they couldn't afford it, x-rays, and they had put a splint on it, would I say we'd be sitting here discussing this today? I'd be like, no, we didn't do the x-rays because we couldn't do the x-rays.
That's not what happened.
It's not what happened, but I mean, everybody, I like hearing the different viewpoints, especially in cases like this, because I think people practice differently. I remember a veterinarian that I worked with one time that said, if a cat breaks its leg, put the bones in the same room together and it will heal, right? Like, I think sometimes you can have bones that heal even when they're not aligned. So I'm like, while it's not kind of standard of practice, I've definitely heard it before, and that's where I go. There's a little bit of individual variation in that.
All right, so we had a lot of discussion. We had a lot of
all
discussion.
Okay, so I'll make a motion, and then, since we've already discussed. So in case 2209, I think I'll make a motion that we're going to dismiss this case. I'm going to suggest a letter of concern for both the clear communication on aftercare after putting on a splint, and ensuring that we're clear with our clients on what that actually means. And then also including in that the second view really is essential in these orthopedic cases. And the reason why I'm leaning more towards a letter of concern is I honestly don't know if it would have changed the outcome if you'd caught it up front. Could you have done surgery? Maybe, but I don't know that there was enough to seed it, to your original point. So I don't necessarily know that it changed, unfortunately, the long-term outcome. I think it probably just delayed it. But that's a tough call.
So we have a motion on the floor. Come on, bite the bullet.
Second.
Thank you, Nikki. All right, motion on the floor and a second to dismiss and issue a letter of concern, both communications and not having a second extern. Any further discussion? Doesn't seem like we're unified, so let's do a roll call.
Oh, we're here. Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Mrs. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Dr. Thompson?
Nay.
Dr. Wright's recused. Three nays and four ayes.
The ayes have it. This is a case and issue a letter of concern. So the board has voted to dismiss case 2209 and issue a letter of concern. This concludes this matter. Dr. Lyman, you will receive written confirmation of the board's activity shortly. Thank you, Richard, shortly. If anyone has any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you, everybody, for participating today.